This morning, I'm going to be talking to you on a subject that God has been bringing me in on a journey on for quite some time. Since March, honestly, I've been walking through a journey trying to understand it. My scope of understanding is limited. I don't think we ever truly understand. And my goal today, I'm talking about the will of God. My goal today is not to tell you what the will of God is. I don't think that's something that I can tell you, but I can tell you ways that I find in Scripture and ways that I find in myself to present yourself in a position to follow the will of God. And that'll be the real goal of today, is to try to figure out how we can position ourselves to follow in the will of God, and how we can present ourselves in a place that we receive, we're listening, we're looking for, and we are willing to step out when we feel like the will of God is being presented in our lives. When God's will is shown to me, how can I step out into that? And when I think about this, and I'm thinking about in my own life things that I remember from my childhood and trying to connect the dots, kind of, I was thinking about one of my favorite and scariest moments as a kid was when something had been going on at school, and I was homeschooled, but we went to these co-ops or with church or something, and I would be at home and I'd be telling my parents, my dad specifically, what was going on. And he would give me advice. He'd always give me some parameters to operate in. You know, don't do this, you can do this, don't do this. And I thought about one of my favorite moments, one of my favorite feelings is when he would say, "Michael, if you do these things, I have your back. So don't worry about it. I don't care if the teachers are against you, if the leaders are against you. I am supporting you 100%. But then he would say, "But if you do these things opposite of how I've told you to do this, then I will let them punish you and I will be in on it. And I will be against you." And I would think, wow, this is such a great feeling. My dad's supporting me. At the same time, I would be fearful that I would step out of the line and I would step out of the parameters that he's called me to operate in. And it was a good feeling. It was an incredibly good feeling, because I was able to walk in confidence. Because when I was doing these things, I was like, well, I'm not really sure what to do here. But I know that regardless of what happens, I got somebody that has my back, who's going to be swinging for me. And when I think about will and start thinking about free will and how God has given us free will, and he gave us the option to choose. At the Garden of Eden, we see that there's the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God sets down and says to Adam and Eve, you can eat of all these trees except for this one. In essence, there's a choice that we have an option to walk out in. And I've been discussing it, these topics with many people. I was discussing it with Larry King, and he sent me these notes, and I was reading through his notes about the covenant, which is a different topic. But as one of the points, he said that in the Garden of Eden is when man asserted his will over God's will, was a point that he made in his notes. And I thought about that. I thought about it a lot. Thought about in Genesis 3:5, Satan is talking to Eve, and he's explaining to Eve, you know, if you eat of this tree, if you eat of this, you'll be like God. It says in Genesis 3:5, God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, I think Satan was using a phrase, you will be like God. He was appealing to Eve's will, I think, very plainly. He's appealing to her will. And Adam stepped right into that, appealing to the will. And then Adam and Eve both ate of the tree. They asserted their will over God, over God's will. God told them, I have made this planet for you. You have dominion over it. I have given you everything that you need. I have given you the tools that you need to survive. I've given you the food you need. I have taken care of everything. All you have to do is follow these rules, which is take care of what I've given you and not eat of this tree. And they, in essence, asserted their will over God's will. And through that, we have the fall. We have sin enters the world. And then we go down this long journey of God then trying to enter into covenant, trying to restore what he had originally created. And we see that God makes covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's trying to get them back in their will, in his will. He's trying to show them a way to enter back into the covenant, the relationship that they had, by really submitting themselves under what God has called them to be. And as I was thinking about this, I think about Exodus 24. In Exodus, we see that God is taken out the people of Israel from Egypt. He has rescued them from Pharaoh and from slavery. And he's put them in a place. Now he's given them the covenants at Mount Sinai. They are there. They are safe. God is taking care of them. And you see right here in Exodus 24, verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered in one voice and said, "All the words of the Lord has spoken, we will do." God had given them lists and lists of rules and commands, the Ten Commandments and all these different practices that they needed to do. And he said, if you do these things, kind of like what my dad did when I was younger, if you do these things, you will be in my covenant. You will be safe. I will protect you. I will be your God, and you will be safe. But if you don't do these things, bad things are going to happen. And so we see throughout Scripture many times that Israel's going back, bouncing back and forth. They're bouncing back and forth. They're going in and out of covenant. They're under God's will. They are going strong. And then they are out from under God's will. They're out from under his covering, and God gives them up. When I think about this, I think about Judges. In Israel was going strong. They conquered the land of promise. Joshua was leading them. Joshua passes away. They served the Lord under Joshua pretty much the whole time, as God called them to do. Then you see in the book of Judges, the start of Israel starting to pull into their own will. They're starting to assert their will over God's will again. And in Judges 2, 1 and 2, it says, "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and you shall break down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done?'" And you see that this starts a pattern in Judges that extends all the way to when Jesus comes, of Israel going in and out of covenant, where they are in their land of promise, and then they are oppressed by a people group. And then God raises up a deliverer. He delivers them because they cry out. They go back into the covenant. They remember God. They go back under his covenant. Then a time period goes by. They forget. And it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We're all very familiar with this. And we see that when they're under the will of God, when they're following the commands of God, they are more than saved. They are taken care of in, you just read through the scriptures. You see in Exodus, you see manna and quail in the morning, the fire by day, the cloud by day, the fire by night. You see all throughout scripture when God sends angels to kill the entire, 180,000 Assyrians that came across them when they were in covenant. 300 Gideon and 300 men defeated the Midianite army. You see, that God is doing incredible things when they're under the will of God. When they're outside of the will of God, it's just not going right for them. And as I'm thinking about this, and as I've been down this journey, I started to realize, am I operating in the will of God? And is Michael Rich following in the will of God? Do I know what the will of God is in my life? Have I submitted under it? Have I been answering that call? Or am I like the Israelites? Am I wandering in a season where I've totally forgotten it and doing my own thing? And it put me on a journey of me standing there and God bringing to mind areas of my life that I had still inserted my will over God's will. That I wasn't willing to give over. And it wasn't bad things particularly. It was things like my work and money. My dad raised me with a work ethic. I like to work. I like to take care of myself. I don't like to get handouts from people. I don't like to give gifts. It's very hard for me to take a gift because I feel like I can do this on my own. I don't want to be a burden on everybody else. But I started to realize, God, what God's called me to do, my will is being asserted there. And I was realizing there were so many areas in my life that I was saying, I can do this. I'm going to try to do my best here. And it sent me on a journey, a long journey of studying the scriptures about the will of God. And I want to ask today, and we're going to continue on, but just to think about, are we positioning ourselves in a place to operate under the will of God? One of the best decisions that I made was when I was graduating college. I was sitting there and I had just been following God's voice. I went to Johnson. I was not, had no plans of going into ministry. I had decided that I wanted to study 4 years at a Bible college. I didn't care what happened. I knew that 4 years studying the Bible wasn't going to be a waste. So I went to Bible college. And so 4 years, God just, it made it very clear that was the school I was supposed to go in. So for 4 years, I was good. I knew this is where God wanted me to be. I didn't struggle with that. And then graduation started coming, and I started thinking, oh no. What is the will of God in my life? What does he want me to do now? And I was praying, and I was praying, and I had no idea. All my friends in the fall semester of our senior year started applying to jobs. And I started hearing the horror stories. They were like, I can't find a job. I keep getting rejected. And I was starting to get really scared. But I had no idea. I didn't know if I should apply for a ministry job. I didn't know if I should apply for a regular hourly job. And I was just praying. And eventually, in January, I heard God say very clearly, walk through the doors that I open. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. January goes by, nothing. February goes by, nothing. March goes by, nothing. The end of March, in 1 week, I got 3 job offers. 2 from a church, churches, and 1 for an insurance job. And I was sitting there thinking, this is incredible. And I just started walking through the doors that God opened. Because I didn't apply for a job. And I found that at this point, and I'm not saying that I've done it right every time, but I'm saying at this point, I was just walking in the will of God. And I was realizing God's taking care of me. And eventually it became very clear those other doors just started shutting. And I was supposed to come here. And here I am. And I'm convinced this is where I'm supposed to be for this time period. There's no doubt in my mind I am operating in the will of God right now. And when I think about this, I kind of think of like the will of God, and this can be a silly analogy, but I was thinking of it kind of like an umbrella, because we can stand here and we can go out in the rain, and we could stand out there in the rain and the storm and the hail and everything, and we could stand out there like this, and we're not really protected. Or even a house is maybe a better example, but I can't carry a house around. But we can go under the house. We can go over the covering of the Lord. We're protected. See, if I'm under the will of God, there's no rain coming on top of me. Now, you know, this might say, well, then nothing bad's going to happen. That's not true. Even if the rain starts getting real thick, you know, your shoes will get wet still. It won't be all easy. Your umbrella might try to blow away. All sorts of things. But when I'm under the will of God, I'm in a safe place. But if I'm not under the will of God, it's, you know, it's all fair game. There is nothing that I can do or say or try to change the fact that I'm up here, I'm exposed, I have nothing over top of me. I am on my own. I am responsible for everything. See, when I'm under the will of God, He's covering me. He's protecting me. He has my back. If I follow what He's called me to do, He will protect me. Does that mean that there's nothing that's going to go wrong during that time period? Absolutely not. That's just not how it works. So, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about the Garden of Eden and man asserting his will over God's will. And I started quoting a passage of scripture back in March over and over and over. And I didn't quote the whole scripture, but I would quote a phrase. And the phrase was, "Not my will, but your will be done." And that's, as many of you are aware, that's what Jesus was saying when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's standing here. He knows what's about to happen. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do. And he's scared. He's scared because he's about to take on the sin of the world and almost be separated from a relationship with the Father that he's had his entire life, always and forever. He doesn't want to do it. I don't blame him. But he sits there and he gets down on his knees. And he says, "If it's possible, let it pass. But not my will, but your will be done." I find it so incredible that how God orchestrates everything, that in the Garden of Eden, man asserts his will over God, God's will. And then you see, Jesus happens to be at a garden of the Gethsemane when he goes and he gets down on his knees and he says, "God, not my will, but your will be done." I have said that phrase over and over. Not my will, not my way. Your will, your way. And everything that I say, think, and do, God, not my will, not my way. Jesus was to a point where he was sweating and drips of blood were coming out. He's struggling here. I think it was a struggle on so many levels. He was fearful of what was to come. He was struggling with submitting under the will, because this is the place when man asserted his will over God. And now he's trying to resubmit his will under the Father's will. And then we see in John 3:36, one of my favorite little things I found in Scripture. And this is where we're going to hang out a little while, because if we think about the will of God and we think about believing in God, it's just belief. Submitting under the will of God, following God in everything, is just believing Him. It's like if you're talking to a kid and you're sitting in the water and you're saying, "Jump off the ledge, it's going to be fine, I'm right here." They don't know. Most of the time when they first are doing it, they have no idea if it's going to be safe or not. You know that they're not going to get hurt. The water is perfectly fine. You're right there to pick them up if something goes wrong. But see, at that point, they are sitting there thinking, "Oh my goodness, I could get hurt from this." And they're believing you when they step it out. That's just a simple example. But when God calls us into doing something, is it comfortable? Absolutely not. Are you sitting there going, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work out. God, I just don't see how this is going to work out. But I'm going to do it anyways. When you submit under the will of God, it's kind of that feeling. Because you know what you're doing is you're taking the control of the situation and you're giving it over. And you're able to say, it's not going to happen the way I want it to happen. And whatever you call for it to happen is going to happen, and I'm going to submit myself under that. And I sit there and I think of belief, how important it is. And in John 3:36, we see it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And then it says, whoever does not. And this is when I start to, at first, when I first read this, it didn't make any sense to me. Because it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And whoever does not, and I was thinking, does not believe. But it doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that. It says, whoever believes has eternal life, and whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God remains on him. And I think about this. The opposite of belief is not disbelief, it's disobedience. God has called us to walk out a life of obedience to His will. And when we walk in obedience, we are walking in what God's called us to do. We are under, we're believing in God, we are walking, and we will have eternal life. But when we're disobeying, we're in essence saying we don't believe. When VBS, I tell a kid, hey, don't do that. And the reason that I might be telling them not to do something is because they might hurt themselves. They might hurt somebody else. They might be a distraction. There might be something we need to go do. And if they go do that right now, we'll be behind schedule. There could be all sorts of things. But when they just disobey, they're walking right out. They don't believe what I have to say. They don't believe that I'm leading them in their best interest. They're like, well, whatever I want to do. And that's just little kids, but it can apply to us. When God tells me to do something, and I say, well, I really don't want to do that. I'm in essence saying, I don't believe that what you're telling me is in best interest for me at this moment. I'm not believing God. I'm not under His will. I'm out of His covering. When I do that, I step out into a world where consequences are flying around, and at any point, anything can happen. And as I'm kind of wrapping up, which is way early, I can talk a little longer. I can talk a little longer. When we step out of the will of God, we are taking consequences in our own hands. It's like so many times I'm trying to explain to young adults, myself, young adults, teenagers, kids. You know, when you say, if you do this, you will get grounded. Let's just use that as an example. If you do this, you will get grounded. So when I do that thing, I can't get mad when I get grounded. Because I am accepting the consequences in the action of doing it. So I can't go, well, that's not fair that you're grounding me. You knew beforehand. Now, if I didn't know that if I did something and then I got punished for it, that's not fair. But if I'm set down, like I used the cookie example at the last family Sunday, and we had the cookies out here, and I said, you know, mom tells you don't eat a cookie, and if you eat a cookie, you're going to get grounded. No desserts, no TV for a week. And I use the example, I ate the cookie, and she counts, and she knows there's one missing. And then I accept, if you take that cookie and you eat it, you're accepting the consequences or the potential consequences. So when we step out of the will of God and we say, you know, God, really when we do that, we're really saying, God, you kind of know what you're doing, but I have a better way. When we go against what God is telling us to do, we are saying in ourselves, you know, God, you know, nice try, but I have a better way to do this. And the consequences start flowing in at that point. Because we get out from under the umbrella, and those consequences are going to come flowing in. And all the troubles and all the pain and all the things that come along with it just start coming. And we can't go, why, God, have you done this to me? We can't do that. We shouldn't do that at all. But we definitely can't do it when we put ourselves in this position by disobedience. When Jonah got in the boat and started going the other way, he couldn't sit there and be mad at God when, you know, he got eaten by the whale. And Jonah didn't. Because Jonah knew, God told me to do this. And I said, you know, I don't want to do that. And so, and you might be standing there and you might be thinking, okay, so what does that look like in my life this week? How can I practice being under the will of God from this Sunday till next Sunday? What I have done, and I'm not telling you this is foolproof, I would encourage you to read Scripture. I would encourage you to read Luke 22, Mark 14, and Matthew, I believe it's 26. It's every single one of the passages when Jesus is standing there and he says, not my will, but your will be done. It's the Garden of Gethsemane, or on the Mount of Olives in Luke. It's called, he went to the Mount of Olives. But it's in Gethsemane. If you read those passages and you think about, what did Jesus do? What should I do? What should Michael Rich do in order to put himself in the will of the Father? You know, if you look at Jesus, he's the perfect example. Jesus simply just got on his knees. So he got on his knees and he goes, God, not my will, but your will be done. I would encourage you, if you're struggling, if you're trying to figure out, how do I get in the will of the Lord? How do I even start down this path? What does it look like? That's what I think it looks like. And then the hard part is then be willing to go or do whatever he calls you to do. Because once you say that, you are opening the door. And what does that look like? It doesn't mean that every single one of us is going to be in full-time ministry. Teenagers, I've always tried to explain to the youth group that when God has a call in their life and they think, no, I'm not called to be in ministry. Well, actually, you kind of are, but it's not like full-time church ministry. We're all called. Everyone has a calling on their life. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you're called to be a light. You're called to be sharing the gospel, be a representative of Christ wherever you go. So that could be in your workplace. That could be at your house. That could be at church. That could be out in the park when you're playing around, or at Dollywood. Wherever you are, being a light. That's your calling. Everybody has one. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be out in some mission field. It might. And when you start saying, God, your will be done, there's a chance. But ultimately, what you're saying is, God, I want to be under your covering. I want you to have my back. I want to be walking in what you've called me to walk in. And I want to honor you in everything. If you could get ready the song I Surrender. We kind of talked about that. I have extra time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. One of the things that I found very encouraging for myself during the last, since March, is I get alone and I play the song I Surrender. And I play the song I Surrender. And I play the song I Surrender. And I sing it out. And I'm not much of a crier, but then I would cry. You know, don't go telling everybody. But I would cry and think about, God, I surrender my will. Not my will, Lord. Not my way. So during this little extra time, I just want to give you guys an opportunity. If you want to sit there and say, you know, maybe I haven't been following the will of the Lord as I should. Maybe I don't know what the will of the Lord is in my life is. Maybe you know exactly what it is. But we could still surrender. I think that it would be appropriate. So if you would like, if you could start playing that music. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to walk as you've called us to walk, to do what you've called us to do. I pray that in everything that I do and everything that I say and everything that I think, I honor you. That I'm under your will, no matter what I'm doing or where I'm going. That I honor you, that I'm a light on a hill, not a light hidden.